I want to go further in Yud Zayin, Parakeet Zayin, but I want to, let's just do a little bit of a Chazar of Har Sinai, also because it's Erev Shavuos, and also because it's Nogei again. And also we spoke on Shabbos, because that wasn't part of the this year, so I just want to get the Rosh HaProkim here. And the Rosh HaProkim are like this, that if you'll look at the whole story of Maimon Har Sinai, clear from the Psukim. What happened was, the chronology of it was, that Klal Yisrael was standing betachtis ahar, the bottom of the mountain. Moshe Rabbeinu was standing there with them. Moshe Rabbeinu was not on Har Sinai at this point. They were at the foot of Har Sinai. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu started to say Maseres HaDibros, and putting together all the different chazalim that we learned, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said the first two Dibros, Shtayim Zu Shemati, the first two Dibros, and then I guess Klal Yisrael, or the elders of Klal Yisrael, were mafsik in the middle, and they said, we don't want to hear from Hashem, pen nomus, and they die. And we want to hear it from Moshe. So Moshe started to say, and he said the rest of the eight Dibrois. We learned to Medrash and Shir HaShirim, says that in that Gufa they had Charat, and no, they were missing that, hearing straight from Hashem. Moshe Rabbeinu said, no, you can't hear it straight from Hashem, you have to wait till Mashiach comes. Asirosius Leva Evan, Nasati Lacham Leib Basar. So we explained that, first of all, it's very significant that Moshe and Klal Yisrael were at the bottom of the har. This wasn't something that was coming from the hill. This was something that was all on the bottom of the mountain. And as the Rambam says in Mor Neguchim, it's not philosophically tenable to say that God spoke like we speak. That's not what it means. What it means is it was a nevuah. Everybody had a nevuah. So we were all prophets for the first two of the Ten Commandments. Again, this was all like Tersha Bal Peh. Nothing was on the bottom of the mountain, Hashem speaking. We all received this huge prophecy. The Rambam says that when a person, a Navi, receives a prophecy, so it's like a near-death experience. It's Dazeya Kol Gufoy. Rambam talks about it, you start to shake. It's almost like some type of an epileptic feeling of getting nevuah. So they said, "Penumbus, this is too hard." So Moshe Rabbeinu began to say. So Moshe Rabbeinu is a bigger prophet, and he was able to handle this nevuah. Well, we spoke about on Shabbos. I just want to just say this over very quickly. Is then Hashem said to Moshe, "Go, come up the mountain, alei alei ahara, climb up the mountain, and I want to give you shtei avonim." And the Chumash says that Haluchos Ma'aseh Elokim Heim, Ava Michtav Michtav Elokim Heim. Everything came from Hashem. He gave him Haluchos. What was the purpose? That's what I explained on Shabbos. What was the purpose of this Ten Commandments? First of all, what was the purpose of saying them? It's not the Torah, and it's just ten mitzvahs. There's no kashrus in there. There's no. And second of all, like, why the stones? What were the stones for? Like, you can come down with the Sefer Torah, you know, that makes more sense after 40 days and 40 nights. Maybe, you know, what's shot in the stones? What were these stones for?
It was given already.
Hmm?
It was given. It had been given already to Moshe.
Yeah, so what they needed a stone. So I explained that if you look at the Psukim, it's very clear that this had nothing to do, but this was not that. There's two parts to the whole event. One part is receiving the Torah. That's beautiful. Can't live without it. Another part was, not equally important, was that there's a bris. There's a covenant between Hashem and the Jewish people. This covenant started with Avraham Avinu, went through Yitzhak, Yaakov. This was a Bris Avram. Av is Brisi. Yaakov Eskar, Vagavis Brisi, Avis Brisi Yitzchak, Avis Brisi Yaakov, right? That's Haaretz Eskar. It was a bris. A bris is a deal, a covenant. The pshat and the luchos were that a covenant is not bal peh. A covenant is not oral, a covenant is written. Not only is it written, but it's carved in stone. So the point of the shtei luchos habris was that Moshe Rabbeinu received not just, this is what I said, now let's put it in writing. He received a edus, luchos edus, to the covenant, to the covenantal relationship between God and the people. And it says that right in the Chumash. It's not saying a chiddush. It says that before Moshe went up, Hashem said to the people, that said to Moshe, tell the people, Atam mamleches kayanim, v'goy kadosh, you are a nation of priests, you are a goy kadosh, your job in this world is to bring Hashem into it. My job in this world is to make you into an eternal nation. This was the covenant.
It says the word brisi as well.
Yeah. The whole Torah was the bris. And the bris, by the way, interestingly, kept on getting expanded because right before Matan Torah, it says that v'nasam lahem sefer abris. What was that? So Rashi says everything that happened from Adam Arishon until Matan Torah. There was another sefer abris. Then the Aseres HaDibros, that was the real sign, Shnei Luchos HaBris. When Moshe Rabbeinu came down from Har Sinai and he saw that they built the eagle, so now they messed up. The Jews messed up because we broke the covenant. So he broke the Luchos. The Luchos are not worth the stone that they're carved into. You broke your side. There's two sides to a covenant. So it's not about that they didn't have Erev Avodah Zarah, oh, gonna break the Luchos like a kass. That's not what it is. It's there's a covenantal agreement. Ani l'doidi v'doidi li, you do your part. Right, Hashem says, Namircha hayoim, I will make you into the summit, you'll make me into the summit, Atama mirenu. It was all about the deal, so the breaking of the Luchos was all about the deal. They didn't become exempt from keeping Torah at that time, or keeping the Ten Commandments. They have to keep everything, but they were Eingekrochen because there was no bris. So once there's no bris, we become a nation like all the other nations. In the sense of eternity, Netzach Yisrael Lo Yishakir, we become a nation like every other nation, nothing special about the Jewish people. So Moshe Rabbeinu went back up, and on Yom Kippur, Hashem said, Salachti Kidvarecha. Okay, and the bris is reinstated. So Yom Kippur is a day of forgiveness, but not just a forgiveness for our averus, it's a reinstatement or a reaffirmation of the bris. And new luchos. But this time the luchos were with different parameters. It was psalachosh ne luchos avon. Now you're going to have to do your part more. It's not going to just be handed to you on a golden platter. This is going to be your part more. You make the luchos. You make the luchos themselves became a maisif shutafi. They became something which was partnered between Hashem and Moshe. Moshe brought the stones, I'll bring the writing, etc. So we have a new bris. It's interesting, by the way, that when we built the Mishkan in the desert, so luchos v'shivrei luchos menachem v'garanachas. In other words, that what it showed was that the pshat and tshuva, which is going to get us into Perek Yud Zayin, when we did tshuva, Hashem said salachti kidvarecha. It's not like it wasn't a new bris, brit chadasha. It was a reaffirmation. Chaim's good word, a reaffirmation of the original bris. So you have new luchos, but the old luchos are also still Chaim. So luchos, or shiver luchos, menachem, bar nachem. That's an important piece over here. It's also, what does it mean? It means to say that we are, the bris means not what we do, it's what we are. What we do is Torah. What we are is the bris. A bris mila you do on your bus. Bris is what we are. Torah is what we learn and what we do. So bris is much deeper, I believe, than Torah. And that's why the Gemara learns out from here such an unusual halacha that Talmud Chacham she'avad she'shachach Talmudai, Talmud Chacham forgets everything he learns. Right? It's complete dementia. So you still have to give him kavod. Why? Because luchos, v'shivrei luchos, he's the shivrei luchos. So the pshat is that what does it mean? What's like, what kind of a drasha of shadows? There is an example, a living example, of what's also important is not just what you know, but what you are. So this Talmud Chacham learned a lot of Torah. He is part of the Bris. He's Shivrei Lucha, meaning it's already the Atzmius shall Talmud Chacham. So therefore, that can never get lost. It can never get lost. By the way, just while I'm here, the Arizal explains that all these pieces of broken Ten Commandments flew all over the place. Pieces of stone all over the place, godly stone. So, okay, apparently Moshe Rabbeinu, or the people, somebody picked them all up and put them into the Aron, and just let them lay around. You're not going to go find a piece of this if you take a Jeep ride into the Sinai, you're not going to find these pieces of Luchos. They picked them all up and they put them into the Aron Kodesh. It was Kadosh. It was bad, so Kadosh. But the Arizal says that this flying around of all of these stones, the picking up of these stones will take place throughout all the generations. And these are all the Balei Tshuva that are coming back. The stones, every stone that flew here and flew there and flew everywhere, flew to Tibet and to California, all of these stones are all being picked up over all the generations, the Arizal says, and being put into the Aron Kodesh. This is like the until Mashiach comes, all these stones get picked up on a symbolic level. Malonitzitzis, that's what Malonitzitzis means, is the Arizal. But just to finish the point again, that when Moshe Rabbeinu was already at the end of his life, he gave brachas, he gave klalos, he blessed the people, he cursed the people. He didn't bless them, he didn't curse them. He said to them like this, he said, if you're going to keep the bris, so then you're going to go into Eretz Yisrael, you're going to have a miraculous existence, you're going to win wars miraculously, which we have done. One Jew is going to chase away 70 enemies. The agriculture is going to be such that you're going to green the desert. It's going to have Gishmechem Be'itam, you're going to always have rain. Everything's going to be good. But it's not just a bracha. Everything's going to be good because I promised you, there's a bris, there's a covenant here. And the covenant means that you will be an eternal people. And all the odds against you, you're still going to be. But if you don't keep the Torah, if you don't keep the Torah, meaning you don't keep the bris, so now, okay, even if you're keeping Torah, but you're not keeping the bris, so now you're a nation like every other nation. So you'll last 100 years, 500 years, 1,000 years. The Roman Empire lasted a long time, but eventually it goes away. So, but if you're part of the covenant, you'll never go away. Netzach Yisrael lo yishakir. So Moshe Rabbeinu says to him, and the bris is only in Aretz, Eretz Yisrael, kisavei lo Aretz, that's part of the bris, as Aretz eskar, that Moshe Rabbeinu was telling them, I'm telling you now, he wasn't just giving brachas and clothes, pulling out random mitzvahs and aver. He expanded on the bris. Kisavei el ha'aretz. And those psukim and Ela divrei habris, says Mefarsh. He said the words of the bris, asher karas. So this was the bris of Arvas Mayav. This was called the bris Mayav, the bris Arvas Mayav. So it's all very, very clear, and it's also very clear that Moshe Rabbeinu understood that if he himself doesn't go into Eretz Yisrael, that means he's not part of the bris. Part of the Torah, obviously, he is the Torah, but he's not part of that bris. I have to go into Eretz Yisrael. Why aren't I part of the bris? So the eternity of Klal Yisrael, the Tikkun, the Mashiach, all of those things, that's all bris stuff. That's all bris stuff. So what we have from all this, just before I go any further, is that there's really two dinim. One din is that we learn Torah, we keep mitzvot, we do, of course. The other din is we're Jews. It's possible to keep everything. And you can, Akub Sheshavas Chayav Misa. A guy can keep Shabbos too, but he's Chayav Misa. You're not part of the bris. You're not allowed to do a bris milah on a guy. Usser. Usser. You're not allowed to do a bris milah on a guy. Except for maybe to practice. You're not supposed to do a bris milah on a guy. Why? Because he's not part of the bris. What are you pulling somebody into the bris? Mishpatim Ba'yadom. Now I'll teach Torah to. And when we do Hagbah, so the Ramban says that's a kiyum to Hagbah every time we read the Torah. That's a kiyum of Baruch Asher Yakim a Sefer HaTorah Ezois. You're picking up the Sefer Torah. What for? Nobody's learning it. You can hardly see it. Running around, turning around in circles. This is the Bris. What we're picking up is that we are Jews. We're Jews. We're part of this eternal people. That's what the Bris is. Torah is what we learn. I think Shuas, by the way, is more a Yom Bris than a Yom Matan Torah. So it's a Matan Torah, but it's not the Yom Matan Torah. The Matan Torah was a process at the Yom Kippur. It's a process. But the Bris was given with the Luchos. And even those Luchos that didn't last, they're still in the Aron Kodesh.
Really, I'm having trouble defining what's Bris, what's in the Bris that's not in the...
The Bris is your trouble because it's troubling. The Bris was constantly expanded upon. But the Chazon Ish says the follows. This is helpful. The Chazon Ish says, and I think I mentioned this on Shabbos, I don't remember, that why are some things written in the Chumash, in the Sefer Torah, and some things not? Like Torah Shabbat Peh. Why is it Torah Shabbat Peh? Or why isn't it all Torah Shabbat Peh? Like, why is there an oral part of this? Why isn't it written? So the Chazon Ish says that what's written was an addendum to the Bris. Nispach. What's not written is Torah. It could be derisive, but it's not part of the Bris. So whatever's written in the Torah is part of the Bris. It's probably true, by the way, with the Nevi'im also. Meaning, Nevi'im hayu b'Mitzrayim, kiflayim k'yotzei Mitzrayim, b'Yisrael kiflayim k'yotzei Mitzrayim. Hundreds of thousands of the Nevi'im. But there are certain nevuah, Yishayahu, Yirmiyahu, probably not everything that they said, which is part of the Bris. So what's Torah Shebiksav is part of the Bris.
Menafkamina.
Menafkamina is that if we don't keep this, we cease to exist as a people. So the whole Nevi'im is all about Tshuva and the Gula, nothing else. It's all about the Bris. That's a Nafkamina. Nafkamina is, are we violating the Bris? We cease to exist.
And then we carry that, no? They're keeping the whole Torah as it's written. And we're only keeping the Torah the way we can, just because of the oral Torah.
Right.
So we're schlepping it in. So
they weren't in the Bris to begin with. Let's stop. Christians also, some of them keep. For the Goyim, there was a different Bris by Noach. There was a Bris of the Sheva Mitzvahs by Noach. They're not part of the Bris. They can keep whatever they want. They can keep the whole Torah Shabbat Peh also. It's just we know it's silly because we know that's not the Pshat. But it's not a question of derisa drabbanan. This is the document. There might be an oral understanding that goes with the document, so that's the oral law. But there's no nafkamina lebaisa. In other words, of what you do, the only nafkamina is in what it is. Is it the bris? Is it not the bris? Now let's leave that all.
Lev Evan and Lev Basser. Could you explain that?
I'm sure. So let's go back to this. The idea of, this is really how we hook up to the Nefesh HaChaim here. They heard the Nevuah, but they couldn't handle it. So what does that mean? Why couldn't they handle it? And this is really what we're talking about here, at the end of Tezayin, the beginning of Yud Zayin, that as the words of Hashem come into this world, it's like a, you know, they say, like with a pilot, the hardest part is landing, yeah? Everybody applauds at the landing. Even though a pilot told me that I don't know why they're applauding, it's all automatic gear anyway. So, okay. They're applauding the machine, the computer. What are they applauding? But okay, conventionally, this was the Kuntz. You could fly in the air for 15 hours. And that's not such a big trick like landing. So the Dvar Hashem, getting from the highest worlds, hitting the ground in this world, is a very, very crash experience. It's a very difficult experience. And apparently, Moshe Rabbeinu was able to do it fully, and Klal Yisrael was not able to do it. And the reason was because it was too hard. You have to be able to open up your neshama, let's say, to that experience. Which I want to learn what that means. What it means is what the words are. In any case, the framework of it is that if we're talking about Torah, we're talking about Torah coming from the highest spiritual place and coming down into the world as we know it. So this is not a smooth transition, necessarily. So you have to be holding. You have to have leva basar, which we'll explain, in order for that to happen. But what we need to understand is nevuah. Nevuah is we're machalik between kol, Moshe yedaber, v'alekim yonenu b'kol. So kol is, it's coming. That's Hashem's part. Dibur is where I could take that energy of Hashem and articulate it into dibur. Moshe yedaber, v'alekim yonenu b'kol. Everybody heard the kol shofar. Everybody was heard the kol lois brachim. We say it on Friday night. Kol Hashem b'hadar, kol Hashem. What's the lesson there? Shofar arazim, v'yishavar Hashem azar z'avonim. There's a lot of kolos, seven kolos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Kol Zameh, Kol Zamekalo, Zoyich L'chamisha kolos. Interesting. Yeah. Kol Sasa, Kol Simcha, Kol Chasim, Kol Kalo. These are kolos of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Zoyich into the kolos. But to interpret that means that I'm taking it, I'm integrating it, and now I'm being able to articulate it. That's already Kol Gufay Mizdazeya, the Rambam says, that the Navi would go into a coma. Not an easy thing to be a Navi, because you're that's a landing. That's where the transition is actually taking place. There's a transition taking place as it lands, and they weren't capable of that transition because of their problem with the lathe. So let's explain it more. That the chiddush I want to say today, in the next 10 minutes, is that what we need to understand is by Matan Torah, by Nevuah. And for that matter, every day, what's really happening is we're connecting from the kol, and we're connecting it into this world. Or is the essence of also the bris, but the essence of prophecy, the essence of is being able to bring the Dvar Hashem into this world. That's what it's all about. That's what the karbonos are about. That's what Mishkan's about. Beis Hamikdash is about. Shechina. Everything is all about that. It's all about taking, it's a very esoteric idea, but this is the essence of being Jewish. Mamash. The essence of being Jewish is not so much doing this, doing that, putting on tefillin. You don't do that, it doesn't begin. Nothing begins, but it's all taking the Dvar Hashem and bringing it into this world. So Navi was able to do that. Torah Shabbat Peh, we could do it. That's what has to be done. Let's just learn one sentence here, and I just want to explain. In Perek Yud Zayin, the Rechaim Volozhin says, in the very Inyan, I want to explain the Inyan, Yiskashrus Hagimel Bechinus Naran Echad Bechavera. Who Yisoyed Be'ikar, Inyan Atshuva. What an amazing sentence. He said, I want to explain to you, I'm saying this as if it's easy. I was like breaking my head over this. What does this mean? I want to explain to you the Hiskashrus, that connection between Nefesh Ruach Neshama, Behu Yisoy Ve'ikir Inyan HaTshuva, which is all what Tshuva is. What is he even talking about? You would think he explains it further, but he doesn't. Just says that. So that's all we get from him. So what we learned in the past few prakim was that Nefesh Ruach Neshama. So Chazal give an example, a metaphor, to somebody blowing glass through a windpipe. So you have the guy who's blowing, right? You have the pipe, and then you have the glass. There's like three stages. The glass would be nefesh, the pipe is obviously ruach, the wind, and then neshama is where it's coming from. And the Nefesh HaChaim points out not to think that the neshama, that this person doesn't fly through the pipe and end up on the other end. It's his wind that's coming. So too, he explains, is the neshama. The neshama is sitting by Hashem. Our neshama is not necessarily here, the whole neshama. The neshama is sitting by Hashem. Vayipach ba'apav nishmas chayim. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu blew from this neshama into the person. So it's like the ruach went through the ruach, ended up in nefesh. Balatanya adds that the nefesh itself, the part that we have, the nefesh, has two parts to it. It has the nefesh habahamas and nefesh halikis. So the top part, if you will, I don't know if it's top bottom, I'm just saying to make it easier, the top part is elikis. Like, it means, just review what it means, that being alive is not having a neshama, and having a neshama is not being alive. It's not too, I mean, rabbits are alive, trees are alive, squirrels are alive, lions, tigers, bears, they're all alive, they're all breathing, they're all, you know, maybe talking is the distinction. But the being alive is not the point. The point is that first you're alive, and then that's nefesh habahamas. That's just living like an animal. Like an animal's alive, you're alive. So what? So we're alive. I mean, that's a miracle, but it's just dealing with our health and all this. That's creating a vessel for something bigger, which is the neshama, to be able to accept it. Alive is good. It's important to be alive. That's a chashuva thing. Yes, because if you're alive, so then you can be a vessel for. But u'shmarta be'oides nafshoi seichem. That's the mitzvah. Shmiras hanefesh. You watch your health, and by watching your health and taking care of the body, now you can be a vessel for what's supposed to come into it. Or you cannot. You can just have nothing to do with what's coming into it. You can just be alive like a rabbit. Like, so being alive itself is not unto itself, just makes you into an animal. So it's just a biological phenomenon that we're alive. More intelligent being, but at the end of the day, we're just alive. But by hooking into the windpipe of HaKadosh Baruch Hu and being a receptacle for the neshama that is blowing into us, which will only blow, loya mesim tahaloya. This can't happen if you're dead. It only happens if you're alive. So, but if you're alive, so now you have a possibility of being otherwise, like you're just alive. Like you take a light bulb, so a light bulb. But if it's not connected in, so nothing is happening. Like nothing's happening. Nothing's flowing. It's there. It's a light bulb. You pay money for it, but it's not there. Nothing is there. So when we talk about nefesh, ruach, neshama, Nefesh Chaim explains nefesh Chaim. He explains over and over again that's what we're taught. That's what's important to him to understand. That it's a hishtelshelus, or hiskashrus, as he's calling it now. There's a hiskashrus, a connection, like a chain. So you have nefesh, ruach, neshama. Okay? And that's the way we should live. Going back to Har Sinai for a minute, if that was in perfect order, we would have been able to hear all the Ten Commandments. We would have heard the whole thing. Because then we're Kalim for the Dvar Hashem. But being that it's like, you know, the pipe is not completely aligned, you know, so we're getting a little bit. We could hear two. It's that Moshe Rabbeinu is Basbach Lari Abir, perfectly connected. So the Nevuah is having, I'm just saying as a mashal, being perfectly connected to the piece on top of you. Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama. This is esoteric. Well, let's try to bring it literally down to earth, you know, for a minute. Moshe Rabbeinu was connected. Klal Yisrael, we just got out of, you know, a couple weeks ago we were slaves in Egypt. Like, take it easy on us. We're not holding yet by hearing this kind, like having this kind of experience. Nor were any of the great Nevi'im. They were Mizdazeya Kol Gufo. It wasn't so simple to make this landing into the world. So that was the difference between the Nevuah of Moshe, the Nevuah of all the Nevi'im, and the Nevuah of Klal Yisrael. Yeah, that was the big. How lined up were they? So says the Nefesh HaChaim here, Nevaira Inyan, let's explain, Hiskashrus HaGimel B'chinos, tying up, or let's say hooking up, or let's say lining up, the three parts, Nefesh, Ruach, Neshama, Echad B'chaveroi, need to understand who Yisoy B'ikr Inyan HaTshuva. That's what Tshuva is. So let's explain it. We're all hooked up. And then we do an Avera, Machalos Shabbos. So you know, what happens is like this. We've just you know, here you have this you know, mouthpiece, this oxygen piece, which is blowing, Vayipach Ba'apav Nishmas Chayim, Hashem is blowing the Neshama into us every second. And then when we go against it, we're like this because there's an instruction manual as to how to keep this connected.
Is it leak?
Is it leak? Yeah.
Misaligned.
Misaligned so far. Let's talk about the leaks in a minute. But there is a misalignment. It's just not getting, you know, like Marcia gave us 100 examples of this from the physical world, right? Just not. It's just not getting not plugged in well. There's a bit of a short circuit. There's a who knows what. You know, the pipe is stuffed up. There can be a lot of things, but the point is, you're not getting this energy. You don't necessarily feel it because you're alive, but you're really dead. Because from a spiritual point of view, Rishayim b'chayehem nikroim mason. That if you don't line yourself up with this, you're just not alive. That's called, by the way, kares. Kares means, he says here in Parakut Ches, that kares means that this part is not connected to this part. That's the cutoff punishment. It's not a punishment you did to yourself. Certain things like, you don't do bris milah, you don't eat chametz on you eat chametz on Pesach. So you're misaligning the whole thing. What is tshuva, Imken? Tshuva is realigning. So it's not just, so we talk about tshuva, we talk about, well, you have to regret what you did, you have to accept the future, you have to say, be doing. All true. Those are the tools of how to align it. But that's not the alignment. The alignment, the goal of everything is to get back this energy so you're flowing, you're living now a completely different way. There's even ways to get nevuah without doing this, like Bilam, you know. You can get nevuah from an easy source of nothing to him. You can be on the chamar, you're still getting nevuah. But what we're trying to do here, and it's such an esoteric concept that it's so important, so I'm not sure why it's so esoteric, but it is. It's just so important for us to wrap our brains around this idea that if you want to be a firm Jew, the whole idea is to be able to align your life with the Hashem blue life into our nostrils. That's the whole thing. Otherwise, if you're over here, you're alive. You can even be a spiritual alive. You can even be a good person, right? I'm watching, you know, like I had the great schus that in my machzan, so a cat had kittens. So, thank you. Yeah. It's an amazing thing, you know. It's a cat. First of all, where the heck is the father? Completely right away, nowhere around. Where is he? Like, unbelievable. Mother cat is sitting there outside the machzan. Let me go look at this today. A whole day, a whole night, just guarding. Don't touch my kittens. just like looking. I looked through my kitchen window to see. And like we have a staring war, me and the mother. You know, it's like crazy there. They don't even blink. You know, this is a spiritual cat. It's not a spiritual cat. It's a cat. But this is Hashem put into the nature, to the Bria, that a mother is a mother. I said to my granddaughter, I was showing her this, kids, I said, a mother is a mother. This is natural. This is natural. This is not called hooking up or aligning. That's just natural. It's a natural thing. That this could be a Jew, a non-Jew, a cat. Doesn't make any difference. Nefesh Abamas. Exactly right. So that's not called hooking up. Hooking up and realigning means that I'm living my life in the type of a way that I'm connected to above. I have to tell you one more thing. After I told you about my cats, my cats. So my wife. Tell my wife, Zach Hunt and Guttle. They're just going to become ugly and bothersome like every other cat. They're another cute little kid. But I was last week Thursday. There wasn't a shir. I had a meeting in Herzliya in the Sharon Hotel. In the business lounge, and beautiful, overlooking the Mediterranean Sea, it's beautiful. And a big sport, which you might know better than me, in this country, as is in LA, is kite surfing. So kite surfing is like really, really cool because these big kites and hooked up with these ropes, and you hold onto the ropes tied around your waist, and then you're flying on a surfboard, like. 30, it looked to me like 30, 40, 50 miles an hour, and like just unbelievable, even against the current, you're going, you're hooked up to the Ruach, get it? Like the pshat is that you know, you could be windsurfing, then you're like just in the air, that's nice, but no kesher to the world. You can be water surfing, there's no kesher to the air. Or you can be kite surfing. It's just, so I thought to myself, I said to the people that I was with, I said, like, you know the famous story of the Blazhev Rebbe was at some point in the Holocaust, so in order to escape from something, you have to jump over, there's like a big abyss, a big gigantic pit that was maybe too far for a person to jump. So, like, you know, 4 meters, 5 meters, you can't jump over this. Blazhev Rebbe was an old man. And he said, oh, we have to jump, let's take a chance. You know, normally you're going to fall right into this hole. And he jumped and he made it across. So the chassid is with him and is on the other side. He's afraid to jump. So, can I jump like the Rebbe jumped? So he said to him, look, if you're hooked up from on top, you don't fall down. So the story is that he threw him his gartel across the thing. And the chassid jumped too. I'm just like kite surfing. It was like it was just so inspiring, just this idea that they're hooked up to the Ruach. It's just like such an unbelievable thing. And they're like not clear. Are they flying? Are they surfing? Like, are they on the water? Are they not on the water? Sometimes yes, sometimes not. It's like something in between, you know? There's this connection. I'm just saying a mashal. I'm not saying that those were particularly spiritual people on those surfboards. But can't judge them from the window. But one thing's for sure, they're strong people, because this is not as easy as it looks, you know? As is in the world of spirituality, it's not as easy as it looks. So the idea is to be able to connect. So the idea of chas v'shalom kares or any avera is when you're cutting that rope, so you're not getting a kesher any longer to the ruach that's coming to you. And tshuva, the tremendous chiddush of tshuva that you see, Moshe Rabbeinu went back on Har Sinai in Yom Kippur, v'salachti kidvarecha, is this realignment. So maybe like a navi or even a tzaddik, you know, when he's talking, I've seen this, I don't know if this is what it is, but I've seen old tzaddikim that they look like they're gonna just, maybe they're 90 or older, you know, they just look like they're gonna fall over, you know, like they hardly have kohach to talk. And then they get up to give a shiur, and unbelievable, like, you know, it's they're talking in a full voice, they're jumping around, the pshat is all of a sudden they're being hooked up to a higher source, and it's a completely different source of energy. It's resh, it's ranan, it's asis, it's a whole new level of energy that you can have when you're hooked up to the top. So this is what you know, tzaddikim, neviim, this is what prophecy is. Prophecy is being able to hook up that way and to make your life this way. And an avera is pulling away. So let me just tell you one other complicated thing here. And then we'll leave it till Thursday. See, when we daven, so if you look at the, like, these Kabbalah Sidurim, you ever see them? I don't know. So it says on the top what you're doing, like what's happening now, background information. So when you say, like, the brachas in the morning, so that's, there's four worlds. So that's the world of Asiya. When you say Pesukei Dezimra, in the world of Yetzira. When you say Kriyat Shema and Brachas, you say in the world of Bria, and then you get the world of Atzilus. Okay, so I explained this a dozen times, that Atzilus is the highest world, and when you're down in Shemoneh Esrei, Eitzel Hashem, you're standing in front of Hashem. That's what Shemoneh Esrei. You're working your way up from the world of Gashmias. So you're starting off and you're saying, whoa, I'm walking. Whoa, I'm breathing. Whoa, I'm seeing. Listen to the rooster crow. You know, you're all this real physical stuff. Karbonas, very physical stuff. Then you get to Pesukei Dezimra. Pesukei Dezimra is like another segue into the next world. You're singing. singing, music. It's already a different thing than just like, oh, I could see, oh, I could sing. That's already a different level, a different talent. It's much more adin than birchas hashachar, meishim mitzadei gavur, right? Asher yotzar as adam. You know, that's base. It's good. You got to start somewhere. And then you go into the world of Bria, which is Kriya Shema, which you're enveloping your whole Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's nothing else but Hashem in that world. Bircha is Kriya Shema, Shema. And then you can finally stand in front of Hashem and say, Shemoneh Esrei. That's the world of Atzilus. So in the Kabbalah Siddurim, okay, you are now entering from the world of Asiya to the world of Yitzira to the world of Bria, standing in front of Atzilus. That's Shemoneh Esrei, Atzilus. And by the way, as I said a number of times, Rav Shachai says, Chazoras Hashatz is even higher. It's even higher than Atzilus. Because there you're not even talking, just listening. Okay? More spiritual level. So here's what's interesting halachically. This is what I want to bring out here. That every time you change worlds, like it's like the atmosphere, the stratosphere, the troposphere, you know, like every time you change worlds, you say Kaddish. Right? In other words, you finish the first part, the brachas karbanas, you say Kaddish. You finish Yishtabach. Yishtabach belongs to Psukei Dezibra. You say Kaddish. Some say Kaddish, Chassidim say Kaddish even before the whole thing. So Kaddish means that, why is Kaddish is like the segue to another world. Yiskadal v'yiskadash, Shmeirah, you're getting to a higher. You're being ma'ala yourself and Hashem making the connection. So this is the same connection that we're talking about here. It's interesting that not only you don't say Kaddish, the Arizal explains this, not only do you not say Kaddish between Shema and Shemoneh Esrei, which should be like the real one, now you are now entering into the world of Atzilus, put your oxygen masks on, you're in the world of Atzilus. Not only you don't say Kaddish, but you're not allowed to be mafsik at all. Then Gula Lutzfilah. Like that's like the worst place to talk, to be mafsik, even with Kaddish. Why? Because there's never, as Arizal explains, there's never a break between neshama and ruach. There's just a break between ruach and nefesh. There's a nefesh, ruach, neshama. There's no hefsik between Hashem and his ruach. He keeps blowing into the pipe. The problem is that we get misaligned. So whether you divide into three, divide into five, and it all works out, it all formulates exactly. But that, or and even into the ten spheros. But it's all the same thing. But what it comes down to is just different aspects of the same. What it comes down to is where is the misalignment? It's not Ben Gula Letzvila. Because Ben Gula Letzvila, there's a constant connection. The words of the Zohar is that Atzilus and Bria Rayim Zelazet, Rayim, like a Rayim Ahuvim, Rayim Zelazet. They're inseparable. They're inseparable. So that's why, interesting. That's why you don't say a Kaddish. You think of it the ultimate Kaddish. No, it's not a Kaddish. You don't say Kaddish between that and Chazar Sashatz either. Then you say Kaddish and you start your descent. Back to Tachanun, back to Sukkot Zimmer, Ashri of Elitzion, Alein L'Shabeach, which is back to the world of Bria, then finally back to Karbanos, Pita Makaris, Atzar Ratzipar, and you're back to where you started from. So the whole davening is like this, but it's all about this. It's all about this connection that takes place going up and then going down with the like a pyramid with the kadeshim in the middle. So it's a new understanding of averus, and it's a new there's one line, a new understanding of averus, a new understanding of tshuva, because the new understanding of averus is not, oh yeah, I did something wrong. It's a violation which causes a disconnect. You see, if let's say somebody violates their relationship with their wife with their husband. So it's not just like, okay, you did something wrong. It's a disconnect, right? Everybody understands that probably, right? Just disconnected. Boom. What happened? We can't even talk anymore. We're not connecting anymore. Like, it's a disconnect. If you're really bad, you get chorus. But what we're talking about in Avera is a disconnect, but then there's tshuva. And tshuva is a reconnect or a realignment where, once again, the Dvar Hashem comes through us. And then we can be Zelcha to Matan Torah. Okay, we'll leave it at that.
So is karis a physical thing, or karis is like this?
There's different types, or depending on how far.
Why is Marv born with karis?
Why does Marv have karis?
Born with karis.
Because you're not climbing those worlds, Marv.